Proverbs chapter 1, verse, well, that says verse 9. Should say verse 7, so. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for this day, this opportunity that you've given us to worship you, to look into your word, to seek your guidance and instruction, conviction of the Holy Spirit, and wisdom from above to help us, Lord, to be what you created us to be, to follow our Savior, to be more like Christ. And Lord, if there's one here today that is yet to receive the Lord as their Lord and Savior, would today be that day? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We read in this verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord. Is fear a good thing or a bad thing? Is fear a good thing or a bad thing? When normally we talk about fear, we think of it as a what? A bad thing. We think fear, bad. No fear, good. And that's not actually what the Bible says. Fear is an emotion given to us by our Creator. It keeps us often from trouble. It is usually a good thing. Can be a bad thing if we allow the wrong kind of fear to control us. But as we look in the scriptures today, the fear particularly of who? Of God, of the Lord, is definitely a good thing and not a bad thing. There are many verses in the book of Proverbs that talk about the fear of the Lord. I have grouped them here on the screen for you to help us to gain a better understanding and get through them this morning. The fear of the Lord equals the beginning of knowledge. That's what we read here in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 29 says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. That was a bad thing, that they hated knowledge, wouldn't you say? Knowledge is a good thing, it's not a bad thing. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Here the fear of the Lord is equated with knowledge. It is the beginning of knowledge, not the end of knowledge. It's the very beginning. It's the very basic foundational principle of knowledge. You begin with the fear of the Lord who created you and made you and who is the judge of the universe. That's a good place to start, is with the fear of the Lord. Next passage. The fear of the Lord equals wisdom and understanding. You want to know what wisdom is? Wisdom is always a good thing in the Bible. How do you get wisdom and understanding? Well, again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Is the foundation of wisdom. You want to be wise? Well, begin with the fear of the Lord. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The fear of the Lord teaches us, or actually is an outgrowth of humility. As we humble ourselves, as we recognize that We're not the judge of the universe. We don't run things. He does. He does. And the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of journey of wisdom in the life of someone, well, it begins with the fear and the knowledge of the Lord. Wisdom doesn't follow too well if you leave out this one very important factor. The fear of the Lord equals departing from evil. Okay, we see this here in Proverbs as well. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. By mercy and truth, iniquity or sin is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men do what? Depart from evil. So the fear of the Lord is equated with departing from evil. If you fear the Lord, who is a judge of what we do, then you're much more likely to depart from what? From evil, from those things that are going to get you in trouble with who? With God. Yeah, it is a great motivator to depart from evil. And as you get to know God better, you tend to depart from evil more and more to the point that you hate evil as He hates evil and sin. The fear of the Lord equals longer and abundant life. You want to have a long and you want to have a good, fulfilling life? Well, according to the Bible, that begins with the fear of who? The Lord. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days by the years, but the years of the wicked shall be what? Shortened. So, you want to have a longer life versus a shorter life? Then choose what? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. You want to avoid a certain amount of evil. Now, we live in an evil world and we're all going to have to deal with a certain amount of evil and a certain amount of tragedy, a certain amount of bad things. The Bible makes that clear. Christ did not save us. So we might avoid all pain and sorrow and loss in this life. He saved us that we might avoid all those things in eternity to follow, okay? But you want to avoid a good bit of that? Choose the fear of the Lord, and it tendeth to life. We'll move along. Fear of the Lord equals security in life, and the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You want to have security in life. You want to have confidence and boldness in life. You need to choose the fear of the Lord because it leads to confidence and it leads to security and safety and riches and honor in life. Choosing to fear the Lord because it will guide you, that fear will guide you into a manner of life that will tend towards these things that are listed here and will give you confidence. And we'll see how that plays out more here in a few minutes. The fear of the Lord is better. The fear of the Lord is, it's just better, choose it. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. A lot of people that have a lot of wealth are very troubled and very insecure. But you cannot lose in choosing the fear of the Lord. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Don't envy those who do not seem to have the fear of the Lord. We are much richer in life because we choose to. The fear of the Lord is not a bad thing. The fear of the Lord is a what? Is a good thing. It is a good thing. If you wish to be wise and knowledgeable, thus prepared to make decisions in life, which are both pleasing to God and beneficial to you and others, you need to begin with the fear of the Lord. That's what these verses tell us. Every race, every study, every skill has a beginning point, a fundamental principle, a law or foundation upon which to build knowledge, a starting block from which to launch yourself forward. According to the writer of Proverbs, according to the Lord who directed that person, that starting block is the what? The fear of the Lord. It is a fundamental principle, and fundamental principle that you can build upon. Consider, I took through calculus 2 and linear algebra in college. And there's a lot of letters and stuff in that. And after calculus 2, I thought I'm doing something else. And the Lord had already been jerking my chain for 3 years to change to Bible anyway. But all of that calculus begins with this: 1 + 1 = what? 2. You start out in kindergarten or first grade learning arithmetic. You start out with 1 + 1 = 2. You can't do calculus if you don't know that 1 + 1 = what? 2. And you can't experience all the joy and the blessings of the Lord and the promise of eternity and the wisdom of God if you don't start out with the foundational principle, with the fear of the Lord, that there is a God in heaven who made you, to whom you are accountable, who is indeed watching you, and not from a distance, but personally. So is the life of faith. The starting point is the fear of the Lord. Sadly, sometimes we memorize facts without understanding them. We teach kids John 3:16 and they can rattle it off. But what if they don't know what it means? What does the fear of the Lord mean? What does it mean when we mean the fear of the Lord? What is this all important building block of life and eternal reward? Well, first of all, the fear of the Lord means what it says. We often try to soften it. We say, well, that it means respect. We say it means honor. We say it means reverence, that you're to reverence God. And all of that is true, but the word in Hebrew and Greek definitely means what? Fear. The fear of the Lord means the fear of the Lord. The word fear means fear. It doesn't just mean honor, it doesn't just mean reverence, though those would be included, but it does mean fear. There is a healthy fear of who? Of God. That is a building block to the rest of life and faith. And it isn't a bad thing, it is a good thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is used throughout the Old Testament, this word for fear, in particular to describe those who are rightly related to God, having chosen the fear of the Lord over all other fears, thus humbly repenting and choosing by faith the riches of Christ to those of sin and hell. The fear of the Lord is used to describe those who are led to faith, beginning with what? Fear. The fear of the Lord, a healthy fear of God, leads you to the knowledge of God. It leads you to faith in God. It leads you to confidence in life. It leads you to wisdom. It leads you to departing from evil. It is a good thing. It is not a bad thing. And as used in the Old Testament, it describes those who are rightly related to God because in fear of God, they chose to humbly repent and choose the service and the love of God. Job chapter 1 and verse 1. Three times we read this in the first two chapters of Job about this man. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. You see how the two go together? Feared God, eschewed evil. He was perfect, not meaning he never sinned or never made mistakes or never did anything wrong. It meant he was a blameless, a mature, a good, righteous person before God. And how did he get that way? He feared God. And then he departed from what? He departed from evil. Yeah. He departed from evil. He chose God. He chose the service of God. He chose faith in God. He chose the love of God. Because he feared God. Genesis 22 and verse 12. Abraham, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou what? Fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. We talked about this. We read the passage in context in Sunday school this morning. Abraham was commanded by God to take the son that God had promised him and go sacrifice him on a mountain 3 days away. What did Abraham do? Well, he sat there and he stewed and he prayed and he prayed and he stewed and he prayed. No, he got up the next morning, he got the stuff together, he got his son and he took off for the mountain. Now, I can't begin to imagine what's going through Abraham's mind for 3 days while he's going to the mountain to kill his son. But he followed through. Now, we know, or if you know the story, you know, he didn't sacrifice his son because God provided a ram in the thicket behind him to take his son's place. As God provided Jesus Christ for us on the cross to take our place. But God says to Abraham, now I know, now not that God did not know before, but he's making the point to Abraham, you not only declared your faith, but you acted on your faith. You demonstrated your faith by taking your son and obediently doing what I asked you to do. And why did Abraham do that? Well, the fear of the what? Fear of the Lord, as God points out here. Now I know you fear me. In other words, you respect me. In other words, you obeyed me. In other words, you trusted me. You trusted me. And the fear of this concept of the fear of the Lord is tied in very much in the Old Testament with the idea of trust. Job and Abraham were people who feared the Lord and trusted in him. There is a fear that drives you away, and there's a fear that drives you to. The fear of the Lord is a fear that drives you away from evil and drives you to who? To God. On your knees. That's the fear of the Lord. It drives you away from evil, and it drives you to trust. To trust in the God. To choose God. He's made you. He sent his son to die for you. Job's fear of God drove him to greater faith and obedience in the light of his suffering rather than rebellion and doubt. He was rewarded with twice what he started with, including twice as strong a faith in God as before. Abraham was commanded by God to do the unthinkable, yet his fear of God drove him to greater heights of loyalty, obedience, and faith, even believing that God would raise his son from the dead if necessary. For God always keeps his what? Promises. For good or for ill. He always keeps his promises. And it's one thing we can count on. Again, to help us make wise decisions based upon the fear of the Lord. You see how the biblical concept of fear and faith in God are intertwined in the Bible and in the Christian life. Secondly, it is used negatively in Romans chapter 3:18. It was in your bulletin this morning. There was no fear of God before their eyes. There, no fear of God is used to describe those who are most definitely not rightly related to God, having ignored His sovereign indignation over their sinful ways, having ignored His kind warnings to flee from the wrath to come. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Ignoring the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The ignoring of the Lord is the beginning of folly. That's what the writer of Proverbs is saying. And for humanity, it is a fatal error. If we ignore the Lord, if we choose not the fear of the Lord to allow us to drive us to our knees before the holy and awesome God who made us and one day will judge us, if we ignore Him, it will lead to death. Simply put, if indeed we are created by God as God's word states to do His will and purpose, then ignoring Him, ignoring His purpose, ignoring His will, ignoring His instructions, ignoring His judgments, ignoring His warnings and His invitation to salvation through Christ is the essence of folly. The fool has said in his heart, Psalm 14:1, there is no God. Or that can be translated simply, no God. The fool has said in his heart, no, there is no God. Or I'm saying no to God. Either way, these demonstrate a lack of what? Fear of the Lord, by declaring that, well, you don't exist, or by declaring, well, if you do exist, I don't care. The essence of folly. The fear of the Lord is the very opposite. Recognizing there is a God in heaven, admitting that we are sinners, repenting of Him and calling upon Him for mercy, receiving His bountiful forgiveness and His love by faith and the fear of the Lord. A good driver, when they get in the car, you're 15 years old, you get in the car. There are some that are very afraid of that. You get a 2-ton vehicle at your control. You have other 2-ton, 3-ton vehicles headed towards you at, 60 miles an hour. Especially, it was pretty easy driving around on the country roads where I live, but getting on the interstate that first time with all that was a bit scary. Is that a bad thing? No. No, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to have a proper fear of what those vehicles coming towards you can do and what will happen to them or others or yourself if you don't properly control the one you're in. That is a good kind of what? It's a good kind of fear. That is a good starting point for learning to drive with a little bit of what? A little bit of fear. No fear? Maybe not the best. An architect is keenly aware of the dangers of a collapsing building. So what does he or she do? Well, they make sure to use sound principles of architecture So they're not liable for the deaths of hundreds of possibly people because their building did what? Because their building collapsed. That causes them to put some serious thought into what they're doing. You see, a little bit of fear isn't a what? It's not a bad thing. My dad was a wireman at General Electric for 30-some years. He was around a lot of electricity. Is it good to have a little bit of fear of electricity? Does it make you think a little bit before you go grabbing stuff to see what's going through them? Yeah, that's a good thing. It'll save your life. How about fear of your boss at work? Is that a good thing? Well, you know, well, a little bit. You know, I mean, he's the one who writes the what? Paychecks. He's the one who can say tomorrow when you come in, you're what? Fired. You know, and so it makes you think, you know, a little bit about being careful that you're doing what you're told, that you're doing your job well, because there's a little bit of fear of the one who owns you to a certain degree, at work at least, because they're the one that hands you the check. And so that motivates people a bit. It seems today it doesn't motivate people like it should. It seems like having a lack of fear for God bleeds down into a lack of fear for a lot of other things, that healthy fear that people should have. We see that in our society today. Those who learn the fear of the Lord avoid all kinds of fatal mistakes. And that's why it tends to what? It tends to life and a more enjoyable life. As a child, I had a healthy fear of my father. Now, my father did not abuse me. My father hardly ever spanked me. But when he did, it counted. My dad could just look at me a certain way, and there was a fear, you know. I knew he loved me. I knew he cared about me. I knew he wasn't going to cast me out on the street, but there was a little bit of fear there. It was a good kind of fear. We have a Father in heaven. And even as children of God, there still needs to be a little bit of what? Still needs to be a little bit of fear. Still should be. There was, for Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:11. Paul says, knowing therefore the what? The terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciences. Did Paul love God? Did Paul serve God out of love? Yes, he did. But there was still a little bit of what? Fear. He uses the word terror here. All right? One day, every one of us, including Paul, is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if that doesn't provide you with a little bit of fear, then I don't know what will. We're going to give an account, even as children of God, one day, for what we did with the life He gave us. It's not a place of punishment. It's a place of reward. But do you want to stand there and have nothing to show? Do you want to stand there before God and it all go up in smoke? Or do you want to hear, well done, thou what? Yeah. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. And knowing that one day does remind me when my duty and my love and stuff is a little bit distracted and falling short, one day I'm going to stand before God. I'm going to give an account not only for myself in general. He called me to be a pastor. I'm going to give an account for this ministry. And that can weigh on you just a little bit every now and then. And guess what? It what? It should. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it was for the Apostle Paul. Yes, love plays a significant role in our service and obedience to Christ, but fear is the beginning and something the believer should never fully lose sight of in the Christian life. Sometimes love is enough, but a little fear of God is a good thing. Or so says who? Paul. You want to argue with Paul about it, you can. I would advise not, because you're also arguing with God. Even a child of God whose eternity is secure in Christ can still meet with the chastening hand of God on earth. God said he chastens those he loves. Do you want to be chastened? Is chastening a good thing? Well, in the end it is, because it brings you back to where you got to be. It gets your attention. It gets you to see your sin and what you're doing wrong. But chastening isn't particularly pleasant. The whole idea of discipline is kind of unpleasant, you know? And that brings just a little bit of healthy what? Fear. Yeah. Yeah. Let's consider in closing just a few other biblical illustrations of the importance of the fear of the Lord. Adam and Eve. If they fully understood the fear of the Lord, do you think Eve would have taken that fruit off that tree? No. I think she had a little lack of the fear of the Lord there, and that led to a bad decision. And guess what? We're all still dealing with it today. Do you think that Cain would have killed his brother if he had the fear of the Lord? No. No. His fear came a little bit late. How about Noah and the rest of humanity? Hebrews 11 says this: by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, in other words, they hadn't yet happened, moved with fear. Fear of who? Fear of God. Prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. God said that, yes, faith was what led Noah to build the ark, coupled with what? A healthy fear of the Lord. Moved with fear, knowing that God always keeps his promises for good or for ill. He built that ark and he saved himself and his family. At 9 years old, there's a lot I didn't understand about the Bible, a lot I didn't understand about God, but I understood the fear of the Lord, and I sat in a service and I realized that if I didn't humble myself and come to Christ and trust in him as my Lord and Savior, if I didn't accept his forgiveness, that was already a load of stuff hanging over my head that I was going to have to pay the price for. And I decided Christ. And it did indeed start with the fear of the Lord. You say, well, you know, you don't want to scare people into heaven. Well, you know, Jesus talked about hell more than he talked about heaven. A little healthy fear of the Lord's not a bad thing. I don't want you to spend eternity in hell, and I'm sure you don't want to. So let's get a little healthy fear of the Lord here and choose the way that leads where? To heaven. By coming and confessing before Christ this. We're sinners who need a Savior, and accepting his invitation to be rescued from that place. Yes, it ends in faith, but it does start in what? Fear. Sadly, the rest of the people in Noah's day, they chose not to fear the Lord, not to believe him, not to trust him, and they all died in the flood. Don't let that be us or you. Matthew 10:28 says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. What is Jesus talking about? Well, he's talking about himself. Don't fear men. Fear God. What does he mean, don't ever fear men? No. If somebody's got a gun pointed at your head, fear. Okay. But as natural as it is to fear the guy with the gun pointed at your head, you need to fear God more. Because the guy with the gun pointed at your head can only take this breath of life, which is brief indeed anyway. But God, well, his judgment's for what? For eternity. And he invites you with open arms into eternal bliss of heaven, if you will accept who? His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord. And put your faith in him. Choose the fear of the Lord. Pharaoh decided not to choose the fear of the Lord. What happened to his family? Well, he lost his firstborn son, and he lost his entire army, and he lost all of his slaves, and he lost his reputation. All of it went bye-bye. He had numerous chances to choose after plague 1, plague 2, plague 3, plague 4, plague 5, plague 6, plague 7, plague 8, plague 9, to choose the fear of the Lord and let Israel go. But no, he couldn't do that. Even after the 10th plague, he changed his mind, sent his army, lost them all in the Red Sea. The beginning of knowledge and wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It is always true. Many of these did not choose the fear of the Lord and suffered, therefore, the consequences of their folly and lack of faith in the one true and living God. We are reminded, Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And this all depends on how you end up in his hands. It is indeed a very fearful thing, will be, to have your eternity in his hands at the great white throne judgment and to be cast into the lake of fire. It is another thing to have put your life and soul in his hands in this life by choosing salvation in Christ, by choosing to bow before him and to trust his love, and to choose his son, and to be delivered because those whose names were written in the book of life were not cast into the what? The lake of fire. So put your hands, put your soul in God's hands today by faith, choosing the fear of the Lord rather than having to deal with the fear of the Lord on the day of judgment. And child of God, serve him, love him, obey him. Put your head on your pillow at night knowing that your eternity is secure. But when you get up the next morning, it's still healthy to have a little bit of what? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day.